Well, good evening, Oak Leaf Baptist Church. Another night where we can study the book of Esther. Excited about what we're going to look at tonight in Esther chapter 2. If you have your copy of God's Word, whether it's written or whether it's digital, I want to encourage you to get that out now and maybe even a pen and paper to take some notes. Really excited about what the opportunities lie here with our study. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer before we get started this evening. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for how you care for us, God. I know that it's only through your love and your care that I've been reconciled to the Father, that I can call you Abba, I can call you Daddy, and I can come before you, and I can bear my heart to you, and I can worship you, and I can praise you, and I can have this relationship with you like no other. And it's all because of your love and care, God. I can't say that enough as I pray. Now tonight, Father, as we open your word, I pray you'll speak to our hearts. I pray that you'll help us to glean from Esther's life and how you gave watch care and provided for her. I pray, Father, that you would speak to us and help us to learn and grow. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, as we do every week with our study in Esther, we're going to go through the books of the Bible up to Esther. And hopefully, as we do this every week, you're becoming more familiar with the scriptures. So let's start in Genesis. You ready? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. We've studied all kinds of historical information through chapter 1, and we're almost through chapter 2 now. And man, what a great story. Chapter 2 unfolds as Esther is brought onto the scene. We're introduced to who she is. We're introduced to Mordecai and who he is. We're introduced to Esther and Haggai, the porter or the eunuch that took care of the ladies that were there to be entered into this contest or this opportunity to become the queen. We see that all these different individuals are being introduced and the story is being laid out for us. As we look at Esther, we see that she is brought into the palace. We've talked about how she has went through this 12 months of cleansing and preparation, all that goes into that. We've talked about how Mordecai has kept an eye on her and kept an ear to the ground for what she is dealing with and how she's doing in this process. And then the last lesson, when we got together, we got to read about how Esther got to meet the king, King Artaxerxes, and she spent the evening with him. And we studied how she had went into that room where she could have had anything she wanted, the gold, the clothing, everything involved. And she asked Haggai, "What would you take?" So he outfits her and stuns the king with her beauty, wins his heart, and now Esther's queen. So as Esther's queen, we're going to pick up the story here in verse 19. So open your Bible, your digital or written copy, and let's look at this. The Bible says, "And when the virgins were gathered together the second time, then Mordecai sat in the king's gate. Esther had not yet showed her kindred nor her people, as Mordecai had charged her, for Esther did the commandment of Mordecai like as when she was brought up with him. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hands on the king Ahasuerus. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore, they were both hanged on a tree, that is, Bigthan and Teresh, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king." We're going to look at these particular verses tonight, and we're going to dive into this plot to kill King Ahasuerus. Now, I want you to understand that in this plot, there are some fascinating historical information, facts that will come out. As we look here in verse 19, the Bible says, let's look at a little deeper into these verses here. "And when the virgins were gathered together the second time, then Mordecai sat at the king's gate." Now, we need to understand that there are some different leanings towards this statement about the virgins being gathered together the second time. Now, one of them is that this could have been another project that the king was working on that required a great deal of virgins. The Another option is that in this new project, it may be because when they were searching for a queen that the first set of virgins didn't meet the criteria, and he sent out for more as part of this new project being brought in and so forth. The second option is that the king, his lusts were not met with all of the other virgins that were brought in, and he wanted more women to choose from. Even though Esther was the queen, she was the highest ranking lady of the house, the king still had concubines and secondary wives, and he would collect these women from the kingdom to do this at points in times, apparently. According to historical documents and references, we see that this second time could refer to either one of those options. So keep that in mind as you read. We don't know the specifics, but we do know these are options. So we see here then also the verse says that Mordecai sat in the king's gate. Now, as we covered before in our study when we introduced Mordecai to the story, that Mordecai sat in the king's gate because one of two things. One, he was a porter in the house. The second reason was because he was a high-ranking official on the king's court. Now, we're going to get into it in a little while, but he's sitting at the gate of the king's palace. And one of the beliefs may be because he found favor through Esther's input that he was able to achieve rank. See, in the Persian culture, it was not uncommon when somebody was raised into the rank of society, family members would be able to follow them and be able to get influential situations or positions. And some commentators, some historians would believe that in this case, Mordecai was able to take advantage of Esther's position as queen and was able to achieve a position on the king's court. So that is one thing that has been documented historically. But in this verse 19, these are some historical facts and backgrounds to what we see going on here in verse 19 as the virgins are presented and he sits at the king's gate. Let's get into verse 20. Verse 20 says, "And Esther had not yet showed her kindred nor her people, as Mordecai had charged her, for Esther did the commandment of Mordecai like as when she was brought up with him." Now, according to the Targum, she was urged even by the king himself to reveal her heritage, but she refused. As we look into the historical documents, again, the Targum, then we look at another one, if you check into George Haydock's commentary, he would say that no one interrogated her regarding her origins, as she had been educated in Susa and came across, presented herself as a Persian lady. People would not have suspected her to be anything other than Persian. So therefore, according to Haydock, nobody interrogated, nobody really even asked her about where she was from or what background she had. Now, the other option here is, in this verse, is we see that she paid the same respect to Mordecai as when she was raised in his home. Listen, the honors that she had as queen did not corrupt her manners. As you look here, she was always just the same as always. She gave him, Mordecai, the same reverence and respect as a father-type figure as what she always did. So as he instructed her not to reveal her origins and heritage, she obeyed him still, even though she had become queen and was married, out of respect and reverence for the position that he held in her life as that father figure, as he had adopted his cousin to be his own after the death of her parents. As we look here in verse 21, the Bible says, "And in those days, while Mordecai sat at the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus." Now, it is unlikely that Mordecai was a porter, and this is why. We're going to be introduced to another character here in a moment, and his name is Haman. And Haman is a bad guy. He is not good. We'll meet him in a few weeks. We see here that Mordecai is at the king's gate, and Haman did not like Jews. We're going to find that out. And if Haman had it in his power to remove Mordecai, he would have. You say, "Bill, what does all that have to do with this?" If Mordecai was a porter at the gate, just someone who was a helping hand in the palace, Haman would have had the power to be able to remove him and get him out of the palace area. However, Haman did not have the amount of influence it would take to do this, which would lead us to believe that Mordecai was more than just a porter. He was on the king's court. The other thing we see here as we study the notes in history, we find out that these two men, Bigthan and Teresh, they were two great men that perhaps kept the door of the bedchamber of the king. This is how close they were able to get to him in their plot. Now, if you study historically, you'll find out that these men are, it's a possibility that they not only wanted to kill the king, but they even had a plot to poison Esther. You say, well, Bill, why is all this unfolding? Well, as we look in the passages and we study history, we find out that conspiracies were not uncommon inside kingdoms to get rid of kings. And if you study history, you'll find out Xerxes ultimately was murdered by Artabanus, his captain of the guard, and one of his chamberlains. They got a plot together, conspiracy, and they ended up actually killing the king. So it wasn't uncommon to think that there would be some type of plot to kill him and to kill Esther in this scenario in history, as we see here in Persia. Now, Josephus says that the certain Pharnabazus is his name. Now, I know some of you, you may want to remember that name, Pharnabazus. Next time you have a child, this might be a name, maybe a middle name. So it's not used all the time, but listen, what a name, Pharnabazus. He was known by Josephus to be a slave and one of the conspirators who betrayed the two men that he was working with, who were Bigthan and Tereth, and he betrayed them and told Mordecai the plot. So we see here that in verse 21, we see that Mordecai becomes aware that there are two people in the kingdom, chamberlains, most likely men who guarded the door to the king's bedchamber, who had a plot to kill the king and Esther. Now, if we look at verse 21, and we see here, or 22, and we see here the Bible says, "And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen, and Esther certified that the king thereof in Mordecai's name." So Josephus says that the Jew named Barnabasus overheard the plot, told it to Mordecai. Mordecai tells Esther, and Esther tells the king, and then the king writes it in the registry, as we see in verse 22, or in verse 23, we see that it's recorded in the Chronicles of the King as to what happened. As we see and look at this, we have to understand that there are some historical writings as to how in the world Mordecai found out the plot was taking place. These are several options that you can look at in it. The Targum states that Mordecai was one who knew 70 different languages. I think that's pretty interesting to think this guy was that learned. And in his learnedness, he picked up on possibly these men talking in a different language for their plot, thinking that Mordecai or those around them would have no clue what was being said. But the Targum says because Mordecai knew 70 different languages, he heard what they said himself and reported it. I think it's pretty neat that there's several different scenarios as to how Mordecai found out this conspiracy, this plot was in place. But the key to the story is that Mordecai found out, he made Esther aware, Esther told the king, and the king begins to look into it to deal with it. As we look here, we see in verse 23, "And when the inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out, therefore they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king." Now, they didn't just take the word of Mordecai or Esther that there was a problem. They researched the situation. They found out that it was true. In the process of finding out it's true, there are two theories as to what happened to Bigthan and Teresh. One is that they were impaled on sticks. They were hung. That would be the reference to being hung, impaled on sticks. The other one is that they may have been actually crucified in this Persian culture. This was not uncommon, apparently. So there are two ways that they could have ended up dying. one being impaled on a stick, the other one being crucified, regardless of which one you would like to choose. I would not split theological hairs over it, but they were put to death because of the plot against the king. You say, Bill, why is this story recorded in Scripture in these few verses? It's very interesting that you might wonder that. I think the part of it is right here. That is the why it was recorded. If you look here in verse 23, the Bible says, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles of the King. We see here that this Chronicles of the King was the official record that was kept during the king's reign. So during the king's reign, there were scribes that would sit in the throne room in his area where he did business, and they would record everything that happened, everything. So it's important to understand that when this news broke and Mordecai was attached to the story, it was written in the king's chronicles, the king's history books there in his chamber, that Mordecai was the one who thwarted or helped provide the information to thwart these men's attempt on the king and Esther's life. So, as it's recorded in those books, we have to always remember that official records were made of this, and they were put into historical collections that may not necessarily be detailed in Scripture. However, there are secular historical documents that were made by the Persians that we can resource to, and historians over the centuries have resourced to clarify and verify the story and its factuality. So when we look at this passage of Scripture and we see that these men were caught and hanged, and Mordecai was given the credit for thwarting their plan, it's recorded not just in the Scripture, but also we see it recorded in the secular historical books that are preserved from the Persian Empire. So I want to make clear that this story, though it's a short and small lesson tonight, this story is important to the plot here as we get into the further depths of the story of Esther. I want to encourage you to tuck this little piece of information that we learned tonight about it being recorded away into the back of your mind, because we're going to come back to it and talk about it a little bit more. Listen, I want to thank you for joining me tonight for the study. I hope that you learned something. I hope it was interesting. I hope and pray that God is blessing you as you are living your life amidst the live streaming and all that's going on. And listen, I want to encourage you to pursue God. The story of Esther is one that we see yet again that Mordecai is in a place to be positioned to do something great for the kingdom's sake. We're going to see here it actually unfolds into the preserving of the Jewish people in Persia. I want you to consider, listen, wherever you're at today, whatever difficulty you may be facing, please look for God in it. Get into the Word of God. Listen, I encourage you, believer, take God's Word and get into it every day. Take time to pray every day, because the place that God has you right now in your life is for a purpose, and it's for His honor and His glory. So I want to encourage you, as we study Esther, I keep reminding you of this. Just because life is difficult doesn't mean that God's not at work. God is always at work, and I encourage you to look for Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this opportunity tonight to study your word. I pray that you'll bless us as we go our way. Watch over us, guide and direct us. Father, as we go our way, help us this week to take Jesus with us. Help us to see people around us that may be struggling and in difficult circumstances and tell them about the story of Esther and how God is at work in their life, even in difficult circumstances. God, I pray that as we go our way, we'll take the gospel with us, and that we'll pray and ask the Spirit of God to guide us and direct us to people who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, people that need to be reconciled to you, Father. I pray that you will help us to be faithful and bold and loving and kind and gentle, and that we would share the message of Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary with those that need it around us. Now, Father, take us in peace. Allow us to live in your power. And Father, work in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen. Listen, take Jesus with you this week. People need him. Thanks.